Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to Trumpet Radio Live. This is the Wednesday edition, September the 21st. A lot to talk about on today's program. More information about the New York bombing suspect has come out. Turns out that he did have some terrorist connections, it looks like. A lot happening on the national scene. Riots going on. Police riots again there in Charlotte. Aftermath of protests ignited by fatal police shooting. We're going to have details about that story as it's developing. And also take a look at some of the economics going on here within the United States. People aren't saving very much. And more coming up on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome back to Trumpet Radio Live. Here, this is the Wednesday edition. You're listening to Trumpet Radio on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today with me, and a lot going on, a lot to talk about today. Of course, the big news is those riots in Charlotte. We're going to have more details about that coming up in a little bit, but every day we wake up, it's like, what's going on? It's always something.
Yeah, what city's on fire in this case?
There was one report I saw where one of the protesters was caught on video yelling, "We out like Taliban."
What?
Yeah.
How do you understand? What does he mean by that? "We out like Taliban."
I think they were looting a Walmart. Or I don't know if this particular guy was, but they were looting a Walmart. People were videotaping the protest and that event, and at some point, the guy yells, "We out like Taliban." So, I don't know. It's just,
does that mean he's trying to imitate them? Or
it seems like it's some sort of a nod to them, and which is just terrible. So we'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. We were talking a fair bit yesterday about Ahmad Khan Rahami, the guy that is the New York City bomber. Just a headline here from the Telegraph. It says, New York bombing suspect said he received instructions from terrorist leaders to attack non-believers. So they were really quick to come out and say, lone wolf, he was inspired but not instructed was the exact term, if I remember correctly. And then today, oh, you know what? He was instructed. At least he says he was, unless he's making up a story. But apparently he received instructions, so now what do you do?
You were saying yesterday that there was no evidence of him not receiving any instructions. So apparently you could give people a lesson in not rushing to judgment like apparently this police department did.
Well, they just immediately, that was the big write-up, you know. And there were several write-ups on several media platforms saying that lone wolf, you know, inspired, not instructed, which again, what difference would it have made even if that was the case? But he claims he had instructions. So it is interesting just to see them the media scramble to very quickly fit everything into their preconceived ideas and then have to scramble later to change it. And oftentimes the first proclamation is the big loud one that everybody reads, and then the corrections later are quiet and kind of, oh, by the way. And so these ideas kind of come forward. And I think really, I mean, just that sort of a rush to judgment attitude, and we'll talk about it later, but that's one of the main trends I see in these riots in all these cities. You know, vigilante justice. We immediately are going to make a decision. We don't even know what happened, and we're going to run out and burn the city to the ground. I mean, it's vigilante justice. Which one of us would want that? You know, if somebody just accused you of something and came and burned your house down and then said, well, we'll figure it out later. You know, I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing, I think.
And then you have the media backing it up and saying that it's because of police brutality a lot of the time, just basically sticking with their taglines and not even looking at the situation and getting the facts. I don't know about the New York City incident. Did the police department specifically say he was a lone wolf, or was that just the media making it up the whole time?
Well, there was various voices saying that. The media definitely said it. There were some quotes from the mayor of New York where he said he thought, you know, there's no no connection to international terrorism immediately. That was like the immediate thing that was said. And then a few other people came out that have been somewhat involved with policing at some point and said some of these things.
Ugh.
And of course, they still think there might be other people. They don't even know because there were a few other guys involved. So it's a story that keeps kind of happening. But again, it seems like they just throw out the big headline, which is kind of within their narrative, and then later go back and kind of find out what happened quietly. And then those things come out, but they're not. It's not the hot topic anymore, so people have kind of already moved on. I mean, even with the police brutality topic and conversation, I've seen different people that are protesting police in general in the media, and they will always cite those like Ferguson and this and that. That wasn't brutality. They proved it. There's a federal investigation, and they proved there was nothing there. But they still use it as a argument for their behavior. And at what point do you say, look, we can't speak reason to people that are going to be in that mindset? They don't even care about the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's really dangerous.
Yeah, that's the power of lies. And every time we hear some, I don't know what you call them, black rights advocates talking about police brutality, they always bring up that Ferguson issue. Every single time, that's one of their top three examples that they mention. Yeah. A guy who was probably on drugs, who had just robbed a store and was then trying to take the police officer's weapon and shoot him with it. And the police officer turned that gun around and shot the guy. That's one of your best three examples that you always use.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't as big of a problem as you're trying to say it is.
And that's the thing. There's no talking to somebody once they just have their mind made up and they're not going to hear it anymore. And I think it should be called, they should just call it what it is, which it's anti-establishment. That's all it is. Going against white people primarily or the police department, because a lot of these incidents involve black officers. But that doesn't matter because they're part of that establishment in their minds. It's not about somebody's rights. It's about tearing down the establishment. And that's what it is. So
that's really their end goal. They don't care too much about police brutality, I don't think, because I think deep down a lot of the people who are organizing these types of protests know that it's not as big of an issue. But what they really want is to flip the system on its head, and any little excuse they can get to make that happen is worthwhile for their cause.
Yeah. So we'll have some more details about that latest situation there coming up in a bit. Some heavy news there, so we've got to have some fun ones too. to balance it out, I've got a few stories from my bag of course this happened stories is fuller than normal.
Yes.
There's some humorous / strange stories. This first one is pretty interesting. It says, after cops make plea for missing teen, she responds on Facebook, "I'm in my room." Queensland, this is in Australia. Queensland police posted about the missing teen Sunday, asking citizens on the social network to contact them if they had any information about the girl. Not long after her photo and information were posted, the girl commented, quote, "Guys, I'm fine. I'm not missing. This is an overreaction to a fight I had with my sister. I'm legit just sitting in my bedroom."
Barricaded in or what? How did this even happen?
I'm not sure why she was like, if her sister must have reported her missing or somebody, but she was just sitting in her room, I guess. The slightly embarrassed police replied to her comment saying, "I'm glad that you're safe, but we can't take this down until you've been cited by police and we've confirmed that you're okay." They asked her to call the station or come down to verify that she was fine and not missing so the search could officially end. A Queensland police spokeswoman told the Daily Mail Australia that the teen was located safe and well shortly before the end of the day, and the post was removed from the Facebook page. So all ended well.
Well, that's good. It's kind of confusing how that could even happen. I wonder if the sister was just trying to get at her and say that she was missing when she knew where she was.
That's kind of what it seems like, although, you know, they don't give the exact details there, but... But just funny how sometimes that social media can work. There's a comment to it here from a gentleman named Mark. He says, reminds me of when a teacher in fourth grade freaked out and called the office because she thought a student had been kidnapped during recess because he wasn't in the classroom afterwards. After panic and then finally calling the parents, they were told, our son didn't attend school today because he is sick.
Oh, no. That's why they do roll call every morning,
That's why you
huh?
do roll call and figure out who's there.
Save some panic.
And who's not there, yeah. So I imagine those things could happen. I don't remember anything like that ever happening at any school I went to where people thought somebody was missing. They were pretty good about roll call. They knew where we were.
Yeah, that always felt like a redundant practice, doing it every single day. But you can understand why maybe they do that, especially with some larger classes.
There's always a problem in high school with certain kids wanting to skip school, skip classes, but not get in trouble for it because it wasn't an excused absence. So in our high school, what they would do is they would take roll call and they would write down the names of those missing. And they would put it on a note, like a little note, and outside the classroom. And so the kids figured out that you'd wait until that note was out there and then sneak up or have a friend sneak up and cross your name off the list.
Oh,
and then
no.
It could be gone. But they got caught, as is the case. People always get caught doing those things. So that does happen from time to time. Those kids, they'll always figure out a way to try to get around the system.
Right.
We had a teacher that was kind of famous for catching the skippers. He was like the guy. And there was a lot of urban legends about him. Like, you know, he'd be up on the roof with binoculars or like crawling through the park. And I don't think that ever was that serious.
He doesn't actually teach a class. That's his full-time job.
He's just going around looking for people to that were skipping school. So anyway, sometimes kids are, they do think they're missing, but they might just be in their bedroom or homesick. Here's another one. We were talking about some of the restaurants yesterday, the fast food restaurants, and whether or not there was antibiotics in some of the meat. This one takes it to the next level, antibiotics being the least of the concerns here. Health officials investigate Popeye's chicken after a woman claims she was served a fried rat head.
Oh,
New York
no.
City. A lot of rats in New York City. One less, apparently. New York City Health Department officials are investigating a Popeye's franchise location after a woman claimed she was served a cooked rat head in her fried chicken meal. They're not going to give it to you raw. They're going to cook those things up. On Sunday, Rosemary Thomas shared a series of images on Facebook, which she claimed showed a rodent head that had been breaded and deep fried. Friends and family, this is a meal Popeyes in Harlem served my daughter, my niece, and sister. This is clearly a rat, and they have the nerve to have a 5 rating by the Department of Health, she said on her post. In May 2015, health inspectors noted that the restaurant was, quote, not vermin-proof.
Are they sure this isn't just a specialty item on the New York locations?
That's true.
With there being so many rats, maybe that's just a nod to where they are.
Well, yeah, they should come out and just say, well, at least it doesn't have any antibiotics in it that we know of. Our rat meat has no antibiotics.
So she claimed it was a rat head. Is it obvious by the pictures?
They're still doing some investigation. This has happened over the years. There's always a story that comes out every once in a while about somebody finding something in a meal or a beverage or something. So every once in a while you have something like this come out, and it could happen, I suppose. I mean, I guess. I don't know exactly their process of making their food and putting it out there, but I mean, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess an employee going on autopilot for a few minutes one day could lead to something pretty bad, not really checking the meal before sending it out, maybe. Because it seems like you would notice a fried rat head if you were looking at the meal while you were serving it up.
One would think. Yeah. I think of that famous expression, I smell a rat. I smell a rat.
Smell a delicious fried rat head.
Well, they say you can fry about anything and it tastes okay. So I don't know. I'm sure there'll be some sort of, settlement of some kind if, in fact, it was a rat head. I don't know what you would get. Would they give you, like, a lifetime pass to eat at Popeye's? Like, would you want that?
Probably not.
After the rat situation?
I would want that. I'm not too concerned about her situation, but maybe she's scarred now.
It would make you stop and think about it. Yeah, you gotta take a look at what you get from time to time. I've never experienced anything like that. Thankfully.
Nothing at all. Yeah.
So the worst is the occasional, you know, hair. Something like that has occurred. I've gotten food poisoning before from restaurants, and not pleasant.
No.
One of the worst ones I ever had was from a particular restaurant. It took about a week for that to.
Oh no!
I was in high school, and I remember eating there and thinking, this is particularly salty. Like, this doesn't seem quite right. But you know, I didn't think much of it, and then I woke up before school that morning, and I didn't really feel sick. I just felt like kind of how you feel when you're excited. Like your stomach.
Yeah.
And I was like, why am I so excited today? Like, there's nothing that I'm excited about. And then my excitement turned to horror.
It's pretty nice of you not to mention the restaurant by name.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, it could happen anywhere. But, and the reason that I know it was that was because my sister had eaten there with me and we both got sick. Mm. So it's like, okay.
Right.
That's what it was. So I had a week off of school. And I needed it. It took a while for that to improve.
Oh,
bad situation.
Horrible.
So those are never good deals, but occasionally they do happen. And one more for you today. We don't usually comment on fashion. We don't usually get into the fashion side of things.
I'm a fashion illiterate. That's probably why.
You look tremendous.
My wife picks out all my outfits. So
she
credit
did a good
to
job.
Her.
Excellent job. This is a new shoe combination. Sometimes they like to mix things up and see what happens. It's the Teva times UGG line might be the most divisive shoe of our time. That's what we're in a time of division. This is a divisive shoe.
Ugh.
They said, so you thought UGG boots were controversial?
No,
actually, no, I didn't.
Not at all.
Apparently somebody did. They said, we present to you Teva times UGG, a new limited edition and highly curious looking footwear line that the internet is baffled by. So if you're familiar with these, Teva are those sandals. They're like sports sandals.
Okay.
And they've got kind of a sporty, you know, sole, I guess, so you can go run around. A lot of people like them for water activities and those types of things, hiking. And, of course, UGG are those boots with the sheepskin lining.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is you can find pictures of it, but I'll try to describe it to you. It's basically that sandal on your foot, and then coming up your ankle and calf is like an UGG boot.
Okay, that does sound a bit controversial then.
So you're wearing sandals on your feet, but then your calves are warm with sheepskin.
What would be the use for that? If it's legitimately cold outside, you'd think you'd want your feet covered as well, not just your legs.
Right, there is no use. There is no use for this at all. There was one person that tweeted about it, and they said, this will complete my ridiculous outfit. And they had a picture of themselves wearing a tank top with a hood. And then these.
Why?
So it's kind of a combination of it's cold, but it's warm, but whatever.
Ugh.
So some people like it, some people don't. They say the Teva times UGG is a collaboration between the brands Teva and UGG, obviously. They're owned by the same company. The curious-looking footwear consists of two signature styles that I just described to you quite eloquently. As the companies announced in a press release, the more casual sandal and the mid-calf hybrid boot. Both models incorporate Teva's iconic universal strapping system.
Iconic.
Every shoe straps. You just click it or tie it or whatever. And the Hurricane sandal footbed. Okay. And UGG's, quote, plush sheepskin and innovative UGG pure wool. And both look like a cross between a medical boot and a moon boot. So if you've thought to yourself, you know, the one thing missing in my wardrobe is the cross between a medical boot and a moon boot. Because they do kind of look like if you get like an air cast for your ankle or something.
Oh,
they look
yeah.
kind of like that.
Okay. Wow.
So
this is what the promotional people wrote?
Well, part of it was, and then
not the last part.
They interjected.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's good to point that out. Reactions have been split, they say, between the ha and the aha, with the former camp trying best to roast the identity crisis shoes with funny, confused tweets. So if people take their footwear pretty seriously, there's been a lot of internet talk, I guess, about the Steph Curry shoes.
Mm.
Remember I said they're ugly? and then James Harden, our good friend James Harden that used to be in Oklahoma City,
indeed.
He put out a puzzling shoe, and people didn't like it. So I guess what are you going to do? Shoe's a shoe, right? So they're always trying to come up with something kind of new, and Sometimes it's just a bad decision. You know, what next? Like the, well, I know some shoes have done like the dress shoe slash athletic shoe. Like it's a dress shoe, but it's comfortable, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily a bad idea. They should reverse it and do like the basketball shoe that looks like a dress shoe. You're out there in wingtips.
James Harden, actually, he probably put out a weird shoe on purpose because it seems like he has an identity of being weird.
Yeah.
Like the beard at this point, there could be living things hiding inside of that. And also he has these candy commercials where it's like the top of his skull opens up and then like candy comes out of it, or like smaller versions of his own head keep popping out, like those little figurines.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting commercials. You should probably look them up sometime.
Huh. I've seen the one for his shoe.
Some of the funniest commercials I've ever seen. Yeah. Because they're just so disconcerting. You don't know what's going on. And even at the end of the commercial, you still don't know what's going on. It never gets resolved.
It's kind of like that Russell Westbrook commercial for, I think it was Mountain Dew or something.
Yeah, those are great.
It's just baffling. Yeah. You just, everyone sits in silence and then you look at each other like, did that just happen? Did we just see that commercial? Yeah. So anyway, this is if you're interested, if you live in a climate where it's warm on the ground, but it's cold just above the ground, the Teva UGG line would be ideal for you.
Or if you have a strange problem with cold calves.
Cold calves.
And just specifically your calves.
I always find it funny regionally how things are different with fashion. Being from up north where it was cold a lot of the time, as soon as the temperature got above maybe 50 degrees, everyone's out in shorts. You know, people are like, who's going swimming? And you're like, well, it's not quite warm enough yet, but people are so, so wanting to wear warm weather clothing. Mm-hmm. And then here in Oklahoma, it's the opposite. You know, dips below 90 and women are wearing UGG boots.
True.
And you're like, I don't think it's cold enough for that yet.
the way those boots are made, that would just be a bad situation, and they're just filled with sweat too. It's gross.
I do have to comment on something I saw here on the campus recently. We're on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College, and I was walking to another building, and it was hot. It was about 100 degrees, and the heat index was like 104 or 105. It was a hot day, and I happened to see a student that goes here, a foreigner from a different country, wearing a full sweater. And I thought, why are you wearing a sweater? But I wasn't close enough to ask.
150
degrees. Hi. From
wherever that person's from. Yeah.
I was sweating like crazy, but they looked all very comfortable. So
wow.
I'm not sure what was going on there, but sometimes people wear stuff that's a little bit different. Speaking of Herbert W. Armstrong College, we got mentioned in an article that they were talking about Edmond as being one of the top 50 places in the U.S. to live.
Wow.
And they mentioned UCO, and they mentioned Herbert Armstrong College.
Wow.
And UCO as well. I said UCO, Oklahoma Christian as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one. So we got a little mention there. So that's good.
Yeah, I actually saw a couple of glowing reviews of the concert series in that 405 magazine, so like a magazine about the area. And more than once in the one issue I saw, they were saying that you can't miss a single show at the spectacular Armstrong Auditorium. So has a pretty good reputation both locally and nationally, like you were saying.
Yeah, that's great. You can find out more information at armstrongauditorium.org for concerts and such. Key of David program's coming up here in a little bit on KPCG. Make sure you listen for that. We always do two segments coming up. And then you can find those videos, if you'd like to watch those, online at thetrumpet.com. And the archives of the audio are also at kpcg.fm. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, from Edstone, England today. Again, talking about Europe, what's going on over there. Germans are becoming dissatisfied with what they see as the failing German system. Talked about also in the Trumpet Hour program today. And so, again, it's one of those things where, and he even in the beginning, you know, he's going over an article, and it was kind of like, well, you know, the author of the article was sort of apologizing, like, well, we got to talk about it. We got to get into this again because it's been in the headlines, but it is such a huge change over there, and it's going to affect the world. And yet it's outside of Europe, it's not quite as big of a deal in the media and in the press while we're distracted with the campaign here.
Mm-hmm.
Cities burning, which is important. But what's Germany up to? Things are changing majorly over there.
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty huge issue, and they say it's a failed German system. Well, until recently, at least, they were by far the best system in the entire continent. So what has changed recently, it would seem to be migrants and you know, flooding in, committing crimes, and then causing a lot of division among the native people. If you fix that one thing, it would seem like their system wouldn't be a failure.
Right, and they need the new leadership, is what I think people are really looking for. So Angela Merkel's had problems with some regional elections over there, and their party hasn't done well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there in Germany. It's kind of like, really, it's a lot like before World War II, where outside of Winston Churchill, you didn't really have anybody warning about their rapid growth and acceleration. And, you know, even though they're having some issues politically, once they get that straightened out, they're a powerhouse over there.
Right.
And is that a good thing? Hasn't been historically. And we'll just go ahead and tell you it won't be a good thing again.
And we already know there won't be another political leader like Churchill on the scene this time. So people aren't going to really know unless they're paying attention to what's going on with this work, exactly what will happen in Europe.
Yeah. TheTrumpet.com is a great place to keep up with the details. And what's nice about TheTrumpet.com is you can go look at decades worth of articles and books and booklets. It's not like this is, you know, caught anybody at TheTrumpet.com by surprise. It's been talked about for a long time that this would happen. So make sure you listen for that program today. You can get the archives at kpcg.fm and plenty to read there at thetrumpet.com as well. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, take a look a little more in-depth at what happened in Charlotte. It's an ongoing story and a big one today. We'll talk about that right after this. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live.
Greetings. I'm Ryan Malone, host of Music for Life. And this week we will discuss composers whose fathers or sons were also composers. In our Sounds of Scripture segment, we will explore the handful of musical father-son teams recorded in the Bible. And in our Classroom Corner segment, we will discuss how less musical or non-musical parents can help in their children's music lessons and what they should listen for to know if their children are getting the most out of their practice sessions. All this on our next episode of Music for Life, Fathers and Sons.
Join Ryan Malone on Music for Life this Monday at 4 p.m. Central on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Welcome back to Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for joining us here on 101.3 KPCG, Edmond, Oklahoma City area. And online, a lot of listeners around the world, kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you prefer that, you can follow us on Twitter, at kpcgfm. And you can send us an email if you'd like to, or anything else, to comments at kpcg.fm. And we appreciate those, and we'd like taking a look at those. Before we get to our main story here about Charlotte, there's a little information about some of the economics here in the United States. They say, make six figures, question mark. There's a decent chance you've got almost nothing in the bank.
Ooh.
They said it's hard to feel sorry for someone making six figures, but a new survey attempts to drum up some sympathy for the deflated bank accounts of these high rollers. Close to half of those who earn from $100,000 to $149,999 a year have less than $1,000 in their savings accounts. Some 18% of them have socked away absolutely nothing. The study from financial services website Go Banking Rates found that those who earn over $150,000 annually don't fare much better. Some 29% have less than a grand in their savings, and 6% have nothing saved at all. The study surveyed 7,052 Americans in early August, and that can be a problem. Spending what you earn, and then usually more. And so the point they bring out is it doesn't matter how much you make. If you spend more than that, you're going to be poor.
Well, that's what the nation is doing. So maybe that's where these people are taking their cue from.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what the thinking is there. I suppose it could be maybe one of two things. Maybe it's that the good times will just kind of roll on, or maybe it'll be, well, the bad times are coming, so live for today. You know, I don't know exactly what the thinking is there, but in any event, that can happen. So that's something to consider. And it's always. I saw somebody the other day driving a Lamborghini.
How much do you think that person had in savings?
I didn't ask.
Going by too fast, huh?
It was actually parked. It was a park. Oh, okay. Parked in the parking lot, and you see a vehicle like that, and you notice right away, like, that's a different type of automobile. And I told my wife, I said, I think that's a Lamborghini. And then we walked by it, and sure enough, it was. And I know nothing about cars, but I happen to know that car, I guess, for some reason. Mm-hmm. That's, in the shape, sort of. So I turned out to be right on that.
Nice.
Don't know much about those things, but
neither at all.
Everybody that was walking by was, looking in it. And I always think it would be such kind of a burden to have one, something like that, because you'd have to be so careful with it, and everyone's looking at it, and it's definitely an attention grabber. But be afraid somebody try to steal it or ding it or bird land on it. You know what kind of a car this is?
Seems like the average non-criminal might be tempted by a car like that if there was an opportunity to take it. So that's another thing.
Yeah, it's always interesting. And cars that go really fast, which I think that one does, I don't know all the specifics, I don't really get it. I mean, you're just driving it on the same highway everyone is. You can't legally.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes when they're advertising cars, at least they used to say, like, it can go from 0 to 60. And, I thought, well, why would I ever, unless I'm like driving out of a collapsing parking garage or something, I don't need to go 0 to 60.
Or being chased by police or something. Like, yeah. a reason that you need to get away quickly.
Yeah, I don't know why you would need that. But anyway, some people like that extra power. And so it is kind of interesting. But they may not have much saved up. Maybe they do. I don't know. But the chances are people don't have a whole lot in the savings accounts. Well, the big news, of course, is what's going on in Charlotte, which is it's a nice area over there. But again, more of this police problems and rioting. The article you've got here, Grant, is Charlotte faces aftermath of protests ignited by fatal police shooting. A man was shot, and then riots broke out. 12 officers injured so far. I mean, that's what we know at this point.
Right, yes. And this morning, they finally reopened Interstate 85, although the highway was still littered with rocks and glass after protesters spent the night basically violently protesting in most cases. This all happened after a black man was shot by a black officer. A woman who claimed to be the victim's daughter put on Facebook that he was only reading a book in his car while waiting to pick up maybe his son. And then she said that they thought that his book was a gun. So that just automatically struck me as a bit strange that a book could ever look like a gun. He got out of his car and apparently was an imminent threat to the officers, from what the police department said. But how could they think that an imminent threat would be him holding a book? So that just seemed off to me. I doubt that's the case. But there you go. That's just another reason for people to think that another unarmed black man was shot by police. Again, regardless of the police officer being black himself. Vehicles were damaged when protesters were throwing rocks and bottles and traffic cones off of overpasses onto the traffic below. So imagine being a car driving or being in a car driving underneath, and then you get a traffic cone or a huge rock to fall on your windshield.
That could kill
you. Extremely dangerous. I mean, these people are out here looking to kill or at least injure a lot of people who have nothing to do with the situation even.
Well, yeah, and then there's a report also that they broke down the doors of a nearby Walmart. What did Walmart do? I mean, this is just typical. It's the rioting, it's the looting, it's the stealing, and just a bad situation all around. These are always interesting situations because it takes time to figure out exactly what happened. They're not giving people any time to figure anything out. It's a rush to judgment and just attacking and burning and all of these things. There's no justice there. If people think there is misjustice or injustice and they want something to be changed, well, why don't they wait to find out what's happened And then, you know, if something needs to be changed, go about it the right way. We've seen this so many times, the burning and the looting, and what does it do? It, you know, it just destroys. Like, even, you know, remember Baltimore? Well, that they gave them space to burn and loot. There were business owners there. They got their businesses burned to the ground.
Black business owners.
They didn't have anything to do with it. It happened in Milwaukee to some extent. You know, people like that. We played a clip from that one gentleman. They told him to go inside because he was telling him to get off his lawn. And they said, go inside or we're coming after you. For what? You know, the cry of we want justice while breaking the law, it doesn't square.
We want justice on those people breaking the law. That's how I feel about it. It's just, well, you're tearing apart a city overnight. If there was justice, you wouldn't be able to do that either because you're basically just overpowering the police force there. And I get frustrated as well by the fact that seven police officers were hospitalized. One was hit in the face with a rock and pretty seriously injured there. And obviously 12 were injured overall. If the police were so quick to use deadly force, why aren't they shooting at the people who are attacking them at that time? It just seems like, well, the only time they would ever shoot is if a gun was pointed right back at them, because apparently a rock isn't enough of a weapon to justify shooting somebody. I think it would be. I mean, that is pretty dangerous, and police have been killed by things less than a gun. But here you go. Once again, the police are not shooting any of the protesters. And even at one point, they handed out water bottles to some of the people who were still protesting late into the night. So as the afternoon turned to evening and the protesters were there for many hours, the policemen were handing out water bottles to the protesters.
They say that this gentleman is one of at least 702 people who have been fatally shot by police so far this year. 163 of them are black men.
Oh.
Most of them are not.
Not too many of them, huh?
So, you know, again, it's a really bad situation. They're making a bad situation to where they're just watching and waiting for any chance to riot. And, you know, probably you're going to have some things happen where maybe somebody does something they shouldn't do, even a police officer. They're not perfect. They will make some mistakes. But when the situation is set up to where they're just watching and waiting, you just can't be that way.
Mm-mm.
You know, and this, again, if they want justice, well, then find out what really happened. And then, you know, typically justice will be served, I think. But again, it's just like that Ferguson situation. Nobody waited. Then they did an investigation. It turned out that the officer hadn't done anything wrong. He was trying to protect himself from an aggressor. But, you know, you can't go back and undo the riot and the protest and the anger. And it's just they're stirring up anger in people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to explode. And I do understand, I think, why there is anger in those cities, because a lot of people have pretty bad lives and they see, you know, that they don't have the things that they would like to have in some cases. But the problem is that they're not looking at the right path for a solution. They're blaming, they're being told it's the officer's fault or it's you name it. And the anger that they have, it might be real and there might be a legitimate reason for it, but it's being channeled in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this never solves anything, you know, rioting and burning. And so pretty interesting. These officers that were injured, I guess they're okay. They're not, it's not critical.
It doesn't look like anyone's on the verge of death, thankfully. But that just shows you how these communities are on edge for whatever reason. There's even examples here of a couple fires being started on the highway because traffic was backed up. So these people went onto the highway, took items off of some of these big trucks, and then just built piles and set them on fire. What does that do? How does that help anybody? How do you help someone by throwing rocks over the overpass and smashing cars below? How do you help someone by barricading a Walmart after you've already trashed it and then blocking the entry with a bunch of shopping carts as well? None of this makes any sense, and there just can't be any justification for what they're doing, no matter how much they say that they've been oppressed.
Well, right, and it's not when you look at like a mob scene like that, people aren't sitting there with a clear thinking mind and you know, I think what's happening is it's just an emotional explosion. And then I think there's that thought that, well, we can get away with anything right now. We're not going to get in trouble. You see that happen in societies that are under that are at war, where the normal restraints of society are not there because it's just other things are happening. And then a lot of times the worst in people comes out. And they do things they wouldn't do otherwise because they're like, well, who's going to stop me? And I think that's what you're seeing. That's the spirit of these riots. Well, who's going to stop us? Mm-hmm. So we'll break down Walmart and we'll break down, you know, we'll burn things. And who do you send in to stop it? Well, you send in the police, but they're against the police. So it's just a bad situation all the way around. And, you know, what happens, like, say, with this Walmart? What happens if the police just don't come? They would burn that Walmart to the ground, steal everything in it, probably kill the people inside. Is that just? You know, I mean, yeah, everyone wants justice. Well, that's not a just. Rioting's not just.
No, not at all. That's just a ridiculous thing for them to do. And I also wonder how many people are actually honestly upset about the man getting shot. Probably only a few out of however many are violently protesting. Probably most of them just feel like a greedy excitement that they can take advantage of these situations and pretty much do whatever they want, take whatever they want for free from a store.
Right. I mean, exactly. And that it happens all the time. We see it, whether it's a natural disaster or it's rioting. You always see the iconic pictures of people carrying TVs out of stores. How is that helping anybody? It's not. It's a grab. It's a smash and grab. Get what I can get. You know, they're claiming to be upset over this situation, which, like you say, if you ask these people what exactly happened, they don't know. But it's an excuse to get riled up and to steal some stuff, burn some stuff, smash some stuff. What's the end goal? How is that going to help anybody or help anything or solve any problem? I've never heard anyone come forward and say, this is what we are going for. This is this is how we are going to come to the solution. And the solution would be, you know, fill in the blank. I don't hear that. You hear generalities about equality and stop murdering. Stuff that is just being made up, you know, as if the police are just randomly walk around murdering everybody. That doesn't happen. I walked past a police officer last night, a lady, and I smiled and said hello, and she said hi to me. She didn't shoot me with her gun.
Exactly.
Now, I know they turn it around and say, well, it's because you're white.
You're a white male, most privileged.
But I wasn't doing anything. I was just walking like a normal person, going to a store. And I said, hello, you know. So a lot of anger. After all these protests and it's been building and building, has it gotten better? Has anything gotten better? Has anyone stopped to say, it's improved? I see it getting worse and worse and worse.
And that's all that's going to happen, is it's just going to keep getting worse until they get the war they're asking for, maybe. That's about the only thing that could happen next, because the police are standing there basically just getting overrun by mobs, and they're not shooting anyone. I really feel like they should be allowed to.
Well, but everybody's got their phone out. And, you know, you're an officer, and then if you do anything that is perceived to be wrong, or maybe it is, maybe you overreact, whatever. And they edit those tapes. I mean, you don't see the whole tape.
No.
There was even a story about that recently where they only showed a certain portion. And if they showed the whole thing, it was like, oh, yeah, it's a little more to the story, but they're not going to show that in most cases. You know, it's interesting, too, just in this whole line of thinking and this topic. Donald Trump came out and made a comment in relation to African-American voters. And he said, it's never been worse for African-Americans. And President Obama was really upset by that. And he came out and he said, never been worse, and what about this? And he highlighted all these things. Good. But wait a second, though. Doesn't he always say that they're being oppressed and it's this big problem? But then on the other hand, he said, no, it's a lot better. I would like to hear more of that after something like this happens. I would like to hear the leadership say, okay, you know, we'll look into some things, but you calm down. You be a law-abiding citizen first. And if there's a problem, then we'll look at it. But first thing you do, rioters, is obey the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you do. Stop all the other stuff. and then we'll look at it, because, you know, it could be a lot worse, you know, for all the complaining, it could be a lot worse for everybody. This is a pretty good country. But you don't hear that. When it's the opportunity to stoke more problems, that's what happens. They come out and they'll always say, well, there's a lot of work to be done. What does that mean to people? It means keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I read it. Keep rioting. Keep doing it. That's the message I get from it.
Yeah, you're right. The only time they ever put a positive spin on black life in America is when they're responding to Donald Trump, who's saying that it's terrible for them. I even saw an athlete a couple of days ago saying he supports Black Lives Matter but doesn't think there should ever be any violent protesting. How can you support both of those things? Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. They're attacking people. You can't reconcile the two things. You can't speak out of both sides of your mouth constantly and then, you know, have black people understand what exactly you mean by it. There's just a huge mixed message going out there, and people don't really understand how to react when they're being told two different things at the same time.
It's a volatile situation. Of course, there was an incident in Tulsa recently as well. So it's just keeps hitting the headlines. And this one, of course, a bigger one in Charlotte because of the rioting and because of officers being injured in that case. And it's kind of interesting, too, because there was a Dallas shooting a while back. And there's a headline here that black Dallas police officers sues Black Lives Matter on behalf of Christians, Jews, and Caucasians and others.
Wow.
That's a black officer. So, I mean, I know a lot of it is race-related, and that's what they're trying to stir up. But again, it's really what it is. It's just anti-establishment, because a lot of the officers involved are black as well. Even in Charlotte last night, it's not a race-based thing, because it's the same race. But, you know, they'll come out and say, well, it's part of the establishment. And really, so it's all anti-establishment. Race is a obvious dividing line, because it's, you know, people can say, hey, that's a different race. And even though I know people try to say they don't see color, I mean, come on, you're colorblind, I don't know. But but it's just anti-establishment, because, you know, this isn't a white officer involved in this case. But they're still mad at the police, because they're just trying to tear down the establishment and replace it with what? Paradise of... Do we want the rioters patrolling the streets? I mean, who's gonna be a responsible adult? Are the people that burned, you know, broke into Walmart, are they going to be the ones to patrol Walmart area and make sure it's safe for customers?
Yeah.
Like, what do they want? So anyway, it's a story that continues to evolve. Charlotte faces aftermath of protests ignited by fatal police shooting. 12 officers injured. Not a good situation. Here's one last little report to end the program today. We were talking earlier about how people are, even if they're making good money, sometimes they're not saving it. But it's good to make good money if you can. 25 college majors with the highest starting salaries. So for those of you that are in college or heading into college or heading back to college or something, here are the 25 college majors with the highest starting salaries. Number 25 is engineering. You can start out at $62,000 and get up to $107,000, give or take. Number 24 is biomedical engineering. 23, engineering management. A lot of engineering here. 22, aeronautical engineering. I would like to be that just to say I was one. What do you do for a living? Oh, aeronautical engineer. People are impressed by that.
Very much.
Tie for 20th place, mechanical engineering and computer science and mathematics. Which is good, Grant. You teach a math class, tell your students.
Yes.
They can make $63,500 starting out and end up at $111,000 as the median mid-career pay. Number 18, it's a tie between industrial engineering and industrial and systems engineering. It's always a dilemma which one to go into, industrial engineering or industrial and systems engineering. I have no idea what those are.
Me neither.
Number 17, electrical and electronics engineering. 16, software engineering. 15 is computer science. 13, it's a tie between dental hygiene and aerospace engineering, which is funny because I would think that aerospace engineering would be a lot higher. It sort of is. I guess the starting pay is about the same, but aerospace engineering goes up to $106,000. dental hygiene, $74,000.
Okay.
Can I get paid for just brushing my teeth? Is that what they mean?
Seems like.
I practice dental hygiene. Try to. Number 12, materials science and engineering. 11, systems engineering. Anyone tired of the engineering? 10, electrical engineering. 9, electronics and communications engineering. 8, electrical and computer engineering. 7, nuclear engineering. So maybe that's why Iran wants it. They want to have better jobs. That's what they would claim anyway. Number 6, computer engineering. 5, chemical engineering. 4, mining engineering. I wonder how that, if that's still as lucrative, because it seems like they're trying to close down quite a few mines. But yeah. I guess it depends on what you're mining. Number 3, computer science and engineering. 2, physician assistant studies. And number 1. It's an engineering one, petroleum engineering. But I would think that would come and go, too, because oil prices come up and down. And but there is quite a bit of money in that. You start out at $96,700. Mid-career, $172,000.
Wow.
You'd be rolling in it. They call the oil black gold. And so if you're a petroleum engineer, you're going to be making a lot of money. Of course, I suppose petroleum engineering could have a lot of different applications, because a lot of things are petroleum based. So my ignorance is on full display when it comes to the petroleum engineering fields.
I don't know 95% of those probably, so it's understandable.
I looked over the list before we went through it briefly, but I didn't realize until reading it out loud that they're almost all engineering.
Mm-hmm.
They're those hard sciences that not everybody loves to get into. But you know, one of the major issues people face going to college is that it's easy to get into quite a bit of debt.
Yeah.
And which, if you can avoid it, it's best to avoid it. But if you're going to go to school and you've got the aptitude, you should probably go after something like this. It's a real legitimate skill that's needed, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I don't know, there are some that aren't maybe quite as well used. But there have been reports, too, showing that liberal arts is important as well. I mean, there might be, you know, I think there's probably that stereotype of, like, say, the IT engineer that, you know, is good with computers but can't function with human beings. So it's good to have a balance, a mix of both of those. So, well, Grant, if you had it to redo again, you could have maybe jumped into one of those.
Got into some engineering. What really stood out to me, all those jobs are about producing, creating, serving society, not tearing things down, which is what we were just talking about. How are we ever going to have successful people come up from communities when all they want to do right now is tear things down? And that's not to generalize everyone, but just in the specific areas where these things are happening, that's a bad way to start out life, looting a store and setting things on fire on the highway, when those careers are available to everyone who wants to put in the work, no matter what certain government officials are trying to tell us right now.
Well, you know, also Donald Trump made a statement that the president really got upset about. He said that African Americans have nothing to lose, so they might as well vote for him. And Donald Trump or President Obama's, you know, no, that's not true, and pretty upset about it. But when I see people, I don't care about what race they are, but when I see people rioting and burning and destroying, I think that's true. I think they feel like they have nothing to lose. And if you're somebody that's going to school for any one of these or anything, any career, and you're really working towards it and you're trying to plan for your future, you're not going to have time or interest in destroying.
That's something to lose.
It's something to lose. You're trying to build something and you're trying to start a life. And you know, if you're at home as a man and you have a wife and you have children and you're trying to build a life, you're not going to be quick to run and burn down a building in your neighborhood. Why would you ever do that? It destroys. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing good about it unless you just don't care.
Right.
Unless you feel like you've got nothing to lose. And I think that's the attitude that they're taking advantage of in those cities.
Yeah, it really does get down to such a simple, really a two-choice decision of creating or destroying. One thing helps everybody. Another thing hurts everybody. And what we're seeing most people choose right now is the option that hurts everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have a stake, if you have a personal stake in the community or in the country, you don't want to hurt it.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to destroy it. You know, if you have a car and you've paid for it or you've made payments and paid it off and you like your car, You don't want to go burn somebody else's. It's their car.
And you don't want anyone burning yours either. So you're not really going to be on the side of people protesting when they're destroying other people's stuff. Destroy your own stuff in the protest if you want to destroy something.
Yeah, if you're really mad, you burn your own car. That's a great point.
Isn't it, though?
If you're so mad and you feel like the way to solve this is to destroy, go destroy your stuff.
And once your stuff is gone, maybe start on someone else's. But make sure you've done all of yours first.
No, that's not the way that it is. It's just terrible. It's a terrible situation, but it really is just a different mindset. And those people are being preyed upon. You know, and I think people that are rioting and protesting, they should stop and ask themselves, since I've protested, since I've rioted, has my life gotten better? Has it made my life better? Am I a happier person today? You know, what did I gain from that other than having a temper tantrum?
And maybe accumulating some guilt from possibly getting caught on camera doing whatever you did and getting arrested for it.
And maybe stole some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's usually young people out there. Most cases, where are their dads?
That's a great question.
Pulling them off the streets. And what are you doing out here? Because you should go to bed because you have school tomorrow, right? Or don't you go to school?
Or do you? Exactly.
Or do you have a job tomorrow, right? Or do you?
Too much free time. When you have a vacuum in your life, oftentimes you'll fill it with destructive activities.
Yeah. Nothing to lose. Take from everybody else. It's the spirit of the age, and it's a bad one, certainly. So those are some of the things going on today. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and the Trumpet Hour program. All of that very valuable. And coming up here in just a bit on KPCG, that'll do it for us today. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.